seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? It's good to have baby dedications, isn't it? It's good to know that we've got parents that are going to raise their children the right way. Amen. 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 While they're getting back, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7. Isaiah 63, verse 7. Jennifer, you let her talk. She's not going to bother me a bit, all right? And if you would, flip over to Matthew, the book of Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. The word of the Lord says in Isaiah 63, 7, I will mention thy loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Turn over to Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom is the son of, or what man is there of you whom is his son ask for bread? Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask him, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye so unto them. For this is the law of the prophets. And again, we've got a lot of doctrine here, but I want to focus in on just a few little things this morning. And I want to focus in on God's goodness. And the title of this message is God's Goodness to Infinity and Beyond. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that we can come today. Lord, that we can praise your name, that we can worship your name, that we can dedicate children unto you, Lord Jesus, in a free country, Lord God, that lets us do these things. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and learn from your word, Lord. Right now, I ask that you would touch the hearts of the people, touch the minds of the people, that you would open their mind and their heart to receive from you. Lord, I ask that you would touch me today, Lord God, that I would step aside, that you would send the preacher, the teacher, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would work through me, Lord, as I try to deliver your word to the people, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would bless it in your name, Lord God. Amen and amen. In the 1100s, there was a poet who was an unbeliever named Omar Khayyam. He wrote a very long poem, but one part of this poem said, into this universe and why, not knowing nor whence, like water willy-nilly flowing, and out of it like wind alongside the waste, whither I not know, willy-nilly blowing. And then he charged God with it all and said, for all that I've done that's wrong, O God, forgive and take my forgiveness. Forgive and take my forgiveness. You see, he thought God owed him something. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He told God of his forgiveness. We read about God's goodness all through the scriptures. In Psalms 36, 7, it says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalms 34, 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalms 119, 68 says, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Now, the first thing we see here, of course, is God's goodness. But with God's goodness, we always see something that follows that goodness. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Teach me your statutes. God is always trying to teach us about his goodness, trying to show us his goodness. So this morning, we have to ask the question, what is God like? Should we ask the question? Well, I believe every Christian should ask this question, because how can you serve God if you don't know what he's like? How can you know God if you don't know what He's like? So today we're going to ask that question. And I'll charge that each and every Christian should ask that question. What is God like? Who is the God that I serve? How are you supposed to serve and love a God that you don't know? You don't know who He is. You don't know what He's done for you. You don't know His character. Of course, you wouldn't take a job if you didn't know what the rules were, if you didn't know what was expected of you, if you didn't know what the duties were, because if you did, you would fail. You wouldn't go into relationship with a friend or with a spouse if you didn't think you knew who that person was. You want to understand that person. So why then do we think we know who God is if we don't want to study His Word, if we don't want to know what His character is? Why then do we think that? It's a question that we have to ask. It's a question that we cannot take for granted. It's a question that I believe God has been dealing with this body on for several weeks now, showing us His character, showing us who He is, what He's done. If we look into religion, we could say that religion is grafted onto man. You're born a specific religion. You've grown up a specific religion. You're Pentecostal, you're Methodist, you're Baptist, your Islam, your whatever religion your country might be. We could say that it's grafted on to man. We could say that religion might also be a weakness in the human flesh or a superstition, because many religions are superstitions. We could say that it's a weakness because we lean on God. But when you truly know God, when you truly know His character, you find strength, not weakness. History shows that no nation has morally risen above its religion. Now think about that for a little bit. No nation has morally risen above its religion. No religion has risen above its understanding of God. No religion has risen above its understanding of God. If a religion believes or a country believes that their God is sneaky, that their God is trying to trick them, what do you think that people is going to believe? That they're sneaky. That's how they're going to act. If they believe that their God is holy and just, how do you think that body of people is going to act? They're never going to rise above what their religion teaches them. Their religion is never going to rise above what their knowing and understanding of God is. Christianity is strong or weak based upon our understanding of who God is, of His character, of what His precepts tell us He is. An individual Christian has the same attributes. He is either strong or weak based upon his understanding of God. That's why it's important that we study this Word. That's why it's important that we join together as a body. We come together and we understand who God is. That's why it's important that we come and we educate ourselves. Because again, if you're going to get better on your job, what are you going to do? You're going to educate yourself. If you're going to rise above to the next level of your job, what are you going to do? You're going to educate yourself. In my profession, I have to educate myself sometimes monthly. Technology moves very, very fast. All right? Some technicians, if you're a carpenter, it might not move so fast. My profession moves very, very fast. The nice thing about Christianity is it's all right here. Everything we need to know is right here. But I will charge you this morning that there is no graduate to this gospel. No matter how long you've been serving the Lord, no matter how many letters you might have behind your name, no matter how many times you've read the Bible through, I believe there's more in this Bible that God wants to show us. I believe that His character will come out in different ways that we never thought of. We've got to study, church. We've got to know who God is. The Christian is only as strong or as weak as his understanding of who God is, what He's done, what His character is, what His attributes are. The base trouble with Christianity today is we want a McDonald's Christianity. We want a drive-through Christianity. We don't want to understand. We just want a quick Christianity. God saves. Okay, let's go. And I go right back in without learning what He requires, without learning who He is. Think if your friendships operated that way. Hey, I'll be your friend, and you didn't even know who that friend was. I'm so thankful to have my friend Brian with me today because I know who he is. I know what he likes. We've grown up together. We're friends. We know each other. So why wouldn't I place God on a higher level than that? So many of you in this building today have watched me grow up. I've watched you grow up, some of you. I watched my own children grow up. I want to understand what they like. The scripture that we read in Matthew, would you give your child a stone or a serpent? No, you want to give them the best. My goal in life is to give my children more, better than what I had. So why wouldn't God's intention for us be to give us more, to help us understand, to let us know and experience Him more than what the generation before us did? The base trouble is we don't understand today who God is, what He's done, especially in Pentecost. We look to works, we look to signs, we look to wonders, and they're good. I'm not stepping on them. But we can't levitate completely to that realm. We've got to understand the character of a God. God is not all about signs and wonders. That is a part. He will do it. He will touch. He will heal. He will show Himself in your life. But that's not all of God. That's only a portion of who God is. We've got to understand who God is. We've turned God into something that He's not and something that we've wanted Him to be, both as a church and both as an individual, because we want a fast food God. We've turned Him into something unworthy of who He really is. If we really understood how worthy God would be, we would fall on our faces. If we really understood how worthy He is, we would fall on our faces. God is worthy. We've turned Him unworthy. The church and the individual believer needs to know who God is, what His character is. It's affected our faith. It's affected our belief system. Our faith is little because we've made our God little. Did you hear me on that? Our faith is little because we've made our God little. We've turned Him into something that we set on a shelf. We don't go to Him first. We look at our iPhone first. We don't go to Him first. We go to Google first. We've got to go to God, church. Our faith is little because we've made our God little. Our faith is weak because we've made our God weak. I charge you this morning, your God is not weak. Your God is all powerful, and that's what He's been leading us through. Give Him praise in this house today. It's all right. Give Him praise. Give the Lord Jesus Christ praise. We've made our God weak. He's not weak. We set Him on a shelf. He can't be on a shelf. We've got to set Him in place. And He's walking this body in the past 2 or 3 weeks through God's character, through who He is, through what He was. I believe it's important. I believe we understand. I believe we have to know the precepts that are in this word. We do not see God or Jesus Christ for who they are. We see them for what Christianity today has made Him, for what some TV preacher might have made Him, for what our denomination might have made Him. He's not that at all. Crossway Community Church is not going to save you. Brother Chris is not going to save you. Some TV preacher is not going to save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. We've got to put our complete trust and faith in Him for who He is, for what He's done. He is the Saver, not a building, not a person, not a denomination. The good thing is God is always big. Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt. I love the Psalms. There's so much there of how we're supposed to interact with God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. The word magnify in Hebrew has several different meanings, but at its core it means to make something bigger, or to see something bigger than it is. In this particular verse, it means the latter, to see something bigger than it is. It's impossible for us to see God as big as He is. It's impossible. We can't know how big God is. We talked last week about the universe and God being bigger than the universe. We talked about suns that could swallow our entire universe up. God is bigger. Can you fathom that in your mind? That God looks upon those things and they're small? They're huge to us. It's impossible for us to put God under a microscope, for us to scientifically see what He is. But it's also impossible for us to look at God through a telescope. The most powerful telescope that we have, the Hubble telescope, which orbits Earth, we can't look out and see God. We can see universes millions of light years away, but we've never seen God. God is bigger than the universe. The local church can only be as great as its conception, its understanding of God, of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of our Godhead three in one. The local church can only be as great as their understanding of that. If you want this body to grow, and I do want this body to grow, I've got to understand, you've got to understand how big God is, what He can do. We have to see God for who He is. We can't put Him on the shelf. God can't be put on a shelf. God is only going to be as big as we make Him, individually and as a body. Amen? We have to place God first. We have to conceptually understand who He is. This is the only way we're going to find Jesus Christ. This is the only way we're going to find victory to those things in our life, a.k.a. God's greatness. God's greatness working in us to give us victory. Amen? Jesus Christ working in us to give us victory. The Holy Spirit changing us, molding us, little by little, some things big, some things small, changing us to be more like Him on a daily basis. It's important we understand who God is. It's important we understand who Jesus is. It's important we understand what the Holy Spirit does, what His work is in our life and in our body, what His character is, what He's done for us. Most importantly, what He expects of us and how He expects it. Because it's very important. There's only one way to God. We talked about it two or three weeks ago, through the brazen altar, through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's not several ways, no matter what this world might tell you, no matter what some TV preachers might tell you, no matter what you might read on the internet. There's only one way to God, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His all-atoning sacrifice on the cross. So where can we learn about God? We can look to nature. We know that God made everything in nature, that He made the heavens and the earth, that He made the oceans, that He made the trees and the vegetation and all that inhabits this earth. But it's difficult to see sometimes. It's beautiful, but we might not necessarily see God in that. We can look at ourselves. He made us in His image, but we're fallen. The perfection that we were is fallen. Sin has taken charge of us. Again, if we watch the news, we see sin at its best, and I hate to say that, but it seems like it's getting worse and worse. It seems like every day I turn on the news, there's another terror attack. There's someone else getting arrested for something that's just infallible. I read a story this week that it wasn't even a saved person. It was an archaeologist, and he said that when God told the Israelites to destroy certain nations when they went through, do you know why that was? Any idea? He didn't want what was going on there to carry over. All the sin that was in those places to carry over. He didn't want that to happen. This was an unsaved person that recognized what God was doing at this point. Every day we turn on the news and we see worse and worse things happening. We can look at this book. We can study His Word. We can see who He is. And again, we can ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our mind, to open up what God has for us. Again, there is no graduate. This Word has something new for us every day. It's amazing that you can read something and you can read something and you can understand it. And then just a few months later, you'll go back and read it again and the Holy Spirit will turn on that light. He'll turn on that light and you'll understand it. You'll understand even more. You'll have a greater knowing of who God is. So the word good, what does good mean? We read a few scriptures at the beginning of this message that had to do with goodness. And we could go out and we could find more. There are several more. I just picked some of the popular ones that we might know. We could look in our Bible concordance. We could look in a dictionary. We could see different references for the word good or loving kindness. And it would take us all throughout this word. It would say that God is kind-hearted, that He is gracious, that He is good-natured, and that He is benevolent. But you know what? This is His intention. God is not some big, mean God. His intention is to be good, to be kind-hearted, to be benevolent. And He always has been. This world tells us a lie, that God is out to get you, that God's going to destroy you. God is love. He's all holy, but He's all love. God loves you. He wants to help you. He's got your best intentions on His mind. When we believe in God, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we place our faith in the proper position, when we put our strength and our will and the means of power source, and that's Jesus Christ, what he did for us, his all-atoning work at the cross. Again, the only way to find God, to find the throne. God loves you. He wants the best for you. When we don't believe, it's a whole different story. When we don't believe, it's a whole different story. But we've got to come his way. We've got to believe this morning, as we should, not as we do, but as we should, that God is good-natured, that God is gracious, that he is benevolent. We've got to believe who he is. You see, God's not like us. You see, we change. Sometimes we don't always act like a Christian. Sometimes we get a little bit of road rage. Sometimes we get a little bit of airplane rage. And not me, but sometimes you might get a little bit of computer rage. I must be speaking to a holy bunch today. We're not like God. This sin nature at work in us, sometimes we have to go back to that throne room and we have to lay it at his cross again and say, God, take it from me. Believe me, if somebody cuts me off on the road, I'm the first one getting mad. You can ask my family. My big joke is smile and wave. Smile. Sometimes they wave back a little bit different way. We get road rage. When you get on an airplane, and I'm not sure how many of you travel a whole lot, but I used to do it a lot. People are so rude on airplanes. You know, people were so scared to fly after 9/11. I loved it. People were so nice. I remember I flew the week after 9/11. People were so nice on an airplane. It was wonderful. That's gone now. It's right back to the way it was. A little bit of airplane rage. All right, your computer messes up. Right, it doesn't affect me. I can help you fix it. But you're beating on it. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go in and replace people's keyboards for beating on keyboards because they got a little bit of computer. We're not like God. We get mad. But you know what? God is not only good, he's infinitely good. He's infinitely good. One of God's characteristics is infinitude. You know, I learned this as a child, and sometimes as a child we don't really understand it. We go through a little Sunday school class and we learn the characteristics of God. Infinitude, infinity, everything. You see, it's impossible for God not to be anything that he is. It's impossible. God can't be anything that he's not. It's possible for the sun to be bright, but you know what? There's other suns. That means there's other light sources. It's impossible for a mountain to be large, but you know what? There's other mountains. It's impossible for the world to be big, the earth, but you know what? There's bigger planets. Not for God. God has infinitude. God can claim infinitude. God cannot do anything that he is not. When I say that God is good, I mean that God truly has a good heart. When I say that he's kind, I mean that God truly has a kind heart. There is no boundary to who he is, to his love, to his kindness, to his benevolence. God loves us. But you know what? He's not only infinitely good, he's perfectly good. God is perfect. He is not like us. He's perfectly good. He's perfectly kind-hearted. He's perfectly benevolent. Perfect. He cannot be something he's not. God is never part anything. We're part a lot of things. Amen? Sometimes we're not everything we should be. Sometimes we can step up to the occasion and we can be everything that we need to be in the situation. But you know what? God doesn't have those types of situations. He's always perfect. He's always perfect. There's never a time when he's not. There's never a time when God has a bad day. There's never a time when God wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. He always sleeps well. Amen? Sometimes I don't wake up on the right side of the bed. I know you might. So sometimes I wake up and I'm just really not in the mood. I know you guys never have days like that. There's some times that when I walk into work at 8:30 in the morning, I really don't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me alone. Let me wake up a little bit because I'm not quite awake yet. I'm not a morning person. There's some times when, you know what, I'm just having a bad day. You can ask my family. Sometimes I'm just having a bad day. Something happened, and it doesn't matter what it was. And you know what? I need to take that back to the cross. Amen. I'm not preaching down on you. I'm preaching to me right now. Sometimes I need to take that thing to the cross. A lot of times. But My point is, we're not perfect. God is always perfect. God never has a bad day. Things don't upset him like that because he's perfect. He's infinitely perfect. God doesn't have this problem, amen? This is never a problem for God. God is perfect. But God is also immutable. The definition in Webster for immutable is not capable or susceptible to change. Not capable, not susceptible to change. Fixed, hard, fast, inflexible, inalterable, invariable, unchangeable. God never changes. He is what he was. He was what he is. What he was and what he is, he's always going to be. God never changes. Remember that God is enthusiastic about his creation. You were made in his image. He's not an absentee God. He doesn't just put the world on cruise control. He doesn't just put your life on cruise control. You see, in my profession, it's a good thing to put things on cruise control. We sit back and we write scripts and we write programs and we make the computers do the work for us, right? Work smarter, not harder. That's always my line to my guys at work. Work smarter, not harder. But you know what? God doesn't put things on cruise control. He doesn't have an automation system. God is there in your life. He's not absent. He is in control. If you call out to him today, he's going to answer you. If you put your faith in him today, he's going to answer you. If you put your problem in his hands, he's going to take care of it. He's going to do what needs to be done. He's going to hear your prayer. Hebrews 1:3 says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. The presence of God is what makes the universe. It's not NASA. It's not the government. It's not aliens. It's not the Big Bang Theory. It's God. God is the one that is in control of everything. And if you'll place him in the proper position and find the means which he provided for you, his loving kindness will fill you. He wants nothing but the best for you. He is a perfect creator. He's made all things run by his work from Genesis to Revelations. It's shown throughout his word, through all the prophets, through the book of Psalms, through the book of Job, through the whole Bible, Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21. God is in control, sending his Holy Spirit to be the office administrator of his work, sending his son Jesus to show he is loved, to show who he is, speaking through the prophets to tell the character of what he is. In this day and age, and I have to admit to you that I'm guilty of it, we trust in technology. Maybe some of you that are of an older generation from me, maybe you don't trust in technology. Maybe you still pick up the phone book. I don't pick up the phone book. I couldn't tell you where the phone book was. What do? Pick up your phone, not even your computer today. Everything you need is right on your phone. Young people, isn't it right there on your phone? Those phones can do... If you would have told somebody in the 1960s that a phone could do what it could do today, they'd laugh at you. They'd laugh you out of the room. That phone you carry in your pocket, I don't know if some of you understand really how powerful it is, but my point is we trust in technology. I trust in technology. And that's okay if I'm doing something in my vocation, in my field. I use it a lot. That's okay if you want to get directions somewhere. I love GPS. I don't have to stop and ask directions anymore. Amen? No more amens? Okay. Yvonne does it. Yvonne knows about the Google, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, good. We trust in technology. We understand what it can do for us, but sometimes we don't understand what God can do for us. You know, the worst thing you can ever do, and I'm just going to warn you right now, when you get sick, you start getting a little something in your body, something shows up, what do? You Google it. Oh my gosh, don't do it, church. Don't Google it. You're going to find out you got every bad thing in the world, all right? Put your faith in God. Let him take care of the situation. Go see a medical professional and have him help you understand what's going on. But our idea that we can put things in this world over God is false. But this world is completely all the time trying to teach us that, right? And some of it's the world we live in. Some of it's the evolution of technology, And if we look at the evolution again, I could spend hours and hours on it. I don't have time to today. We could see how much it's progressed in just the past 60 years. But this premise is false. God is ever-present all the time, in control, not on cruise control, not in remote control, not trying to automate things. God cares about you. And if you don't believe this, I charge you today to check your faith. Check where your faith is at. Check if you understand who God is. Check if you understand His character. When you know somebody and you know their character, you count on them, don't you? When they say they're going to be there, you know they're going to be there. When they say they're going to pray, if you got a problem, guess what? That person's going to... God doesn't have character problems. He is perfectly everything that we need. The goodness of God means that He cannot feel indifferent. People feel indifferent. People are fickle. I'm just going to be honest with you today. People are going to let you down. I'm sorry if that's a newsflash. I don't think it is, but people are fickle. You know what? God is not. God cannot feel indifferent about things. He is perfect in everything that He is, everything that He does. Everything. God is perfect. And either God loves you with a boundless love, or He hates with consuming fire. Jesus either loves you with unconditional love, or Jesus hates with consuming fire. You see, God's perfect. His love is perfect. One of His characteristics is that He is infinity. But you know what? God cannot love sin because He's perfect. God cannot love sin. He is perfect. Jesus Christ cannot look past sin. God could not look past sin. And I've got to hurry. We've just got a few minutes. So if God can't look past it and that we know that we're sinners, why? What's our reason for living? It's the goodness of God. This is the only reason at its base for living. There's a lot of good things in this world. We can go on vacation. We can go on a cruise. We can go sit by the beach. We can go do whatever we like to do, and that's good. But you know what? The basis for all living is that God is in our life, and He is in control, and that we are on our way to the throne room. Amen? At one day, we're going to walk through into that throne room. We're going to take off our crown, and we're going to throw it at His feet, and we're going to praise Him for who He is, for what He's done. And you know, at that point, I don't even know if we'll understand fully who He is and what He's done for us. Let's think about something just for a few seconds. Why do we think that we deserve to have anything at all? Why do we think that? Even life itself. Do we think that we're entitled to it? That we're entitled to life? That we're entitled to all the things that America has? And I'm just going to say America right now because there's a lot worse places to live in this world. Amen? I'm so thankful that I was born in this country. There's a lot worse places right now that I don't think we understand. But we think we're entitled. There's a recent report out, and it says that 8.6 million Americans were put on disability for mood disorders. Mood disorders. Now, the one thing I don't want you to do today is leave and say, well, Brother Chris thinks that mood disorders are this and that. That's not what I'm saying. I believe that there's mood disorders. But I also believe 8.6 million people are having a bad day. Are you kidding me? They're defrauding the government. That's what they're doing. They're defrauding their soul. That's what they're really doing. You know what? There's an answer for it. When you have a bad day, I can take it to Him. When something doesn't quite go the way I want it to go, I can take it to Him. When somebody on my job is not acting the way that they should, when somebody in the lane next to me, when this world doesn't do what we think it should do, God is there for us. When we have a problem, I can't tell you how many times that I've been laying awake at night thinking about something, just churning. And I don't know if you guys do it. Maybe I'm the only one. My mind just churns. I'm thinking about something, and I'll fall asleep. And the Holy Spirit will wake me up, and there's the answer. And it was so simple. God knows. He's in control. He's listening to your prayers. He's perfect in everything. Hallelujah. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is placing your faith completely and solely in what He did for you at the cross. The answer is finding victory through the means that he provided, the only way to God, the only way to the throne room, his son Jesus Christ. So why then? Why were we recreated? Was it because we deserved it? How can nothing deserve something? You see, there was a time on this planet Earth when mankind didn't exist, and this Bible portrays it to us, that God made man in his image. Why did God make man? Why do we think that we deserve something when we were nothing? Therefore, how could we deserve anything? God, out of his love and his goodness, created us in his image. Church, believer, individual, you're created in God's image. He's got a plan for you if you put your faith in the proper position. Why weren't we destroyed? Why weren't Adam and Eve destroyed when they sinned? When they fell out of perfect communion with God? They walked in the garden with him. They knew him, but yet they sinned. They didn't even have what we would deem as a sin nature. Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Why didn't God say, okay, that's the second time. I'm done. I'm done with this human race, and just wipe us out? God loved us. He did it out of his goodness. He spared us. In fact, from the beginning of time, God knew what was going to happen. Are our minds and our thoughts of God so small that we didn't think we knew that he knew what was going to happen? But you know what? He already had a plan. He had a plan for Adam and Eve. He had a plan for Cain and Abel. He had a plan for Noah, for Moses, for Abraham. We can go on down the list, down the list, down the list to you. To this very second in time, God has got a plan for you if you'll place your faith in him. Sometimes we don't know. And God doesn't tell us for whatever reason. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what next week is going to bring. So, I mean, you might be sitting in this church right now, and you might think, I never thought I was going to be in the position that I'm in at this very point in time. I'll be honest with you. I never thought I was going to be standing in this position that I'm in at this time. But you know what? God is in control and has a way, and God will provide. God will provide for you, no matter what that need is. He's in control. He hasn't turned on cruise control. He set a plan for you. Out of his goodness, he knows up until this very moment and into the future, my sin, your sin. And he's got a plan. Notice the word I use there, future. You see, God forgot my sin from yesterday because I asked him to. He wiped the slate clean. Lord, forgive me of my sin. He wiped the slate clean. But he's got a plan for the future for you. He's got a work that needs to be happening in your life to draw you closer and closer to him. We're walking in grace. We're walking in his spirit. We're following our faith toward him. He's got a plan for you, church. He's got a plan for you, believer. His plan of redemption had already been architected. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, God's only son that came, gave his life, shed his precious blood to redeem all of mankind, to redeem you, to redeem this world, to provide salvation, to provide justification, to provide sanctification. But only if you call on him and ask him to come into your heart. Ask him for forgiveness. And forgiveness, church, and I don't know that I need to say this, but it's not a one-time thing. It's a continual process in our life. Because we're fallen, the vines of the fall are still hanging upon us. It's a daily process, sometimes an hourly process, depending if you're sitting on an airplane or not, depending on what's going on in your life. This was God's plan. He knew it was all going to happen. You might ask this morning, why? Why? Why would God forgive me all that I've done? Why would God do it? Why would he forgive me of a sin? And then me, as stubborn as I am, go out and do the same sin again, and God forgive me again. Go out and do another sin, and God forgive me again. Why? God, out of his goodness and his grace, according to his character, according to his word, according to his infinitude, and according to his perfection. All the things that we talked about, God's character, who he is, what he's done. It demanded that he perform this act for mankind because of these things that he set before us. Make no mistake this morning that the penalty of sin is death. I am not preaching some ooey-gooey gospel to you this morning that God loves you and there's no circumstances for sin. There's no requirements for walking after Him. The wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. We've fallen from the perfect creation that we were. We've been corrupted. We have a sin nature. And the true penalty is death. We cannot set that aside today. But you know what? God, through His Son, made a way for us. He made a plan for us. He provided a way. We read that God is not only good, but God is severe. In Romans 11:22, it says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." Now, three things I want to point out to you. Number one, there's a first and a second part of that verse. This is what's going to happen if you do this. This is what's going to happen if you do that. But if we look at this in the Greek, we see that behold, the first part of that is a command. Behold, I'm trying to show you something. Behold, to see, to have sight, seeing something. And then the word severity, to act harshly toward someone. If we do not place our faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? His severity, His acting harshly towards us is going to happen. Consuming fire. God cannot take sin. He cannot look past it. Only if you're in Christ and Christ has covered your sin by His blood can He look past it. God is perfect. He is all goodness, but He hates sin. He cannot take it. He's not going to put up with it. If you think that you can just go past it, look past it, I've got news for you. You can't. God knows it's out there. God sees everything. He is infinitude. He knows what's going on in your life. But He made a way. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us to complete an all-atoning work, a finished work that would cover us until we see Him again, that we can continually go to Him in prayer, continually ask for His forgiveness, continually look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. In closing, I'd like to take you to 1 John 1-9. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us of our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness." Out of God's goodness, He created a plan for me. He created a plan for you. He created a plan for your friends, for your family, for your co-workers, for everyone on earth. God created a plan. But we have to come by the design of the plan. You see, we're not the architects. We can't go in and change something. We're not building a house. We can't add another story. We can't add a doorway. We can't add the window. There's only one doorway, and that's Jesus Christ. That's through the brazen altar. That's the doorway into God's throne room. There's only one plan. There is no other. It's not by law, who some people would say it happened that way in the Old Testament. We don't have time to go into that today, but it's not by law. It's not by our works. We cannot keep law enough. If we look at our system today, again, and look at all the law that's broken every day, we can't keep law. We can't even keep our own man's law. How can we keep God's law? It's not by works. You cannot work enough. You know what? I like to work in what I do. I enjoy working in what I do. But no matter how much I work, whether on my daytime job or whether here at the church, neither one of those things are going to set me at a higher place with God. Neither one of those things that you do are going to set you at a higher place with God. It's not by law. It's not by works. It's by faith properly placed in Jesus Christ, His all-atoning work that was completed for you, His finished work that was completed for you. Today, God wants to help us. He's not brought this message to us by coincidence. He's not brought this message to us just because you're here today, just because Brian and Jennifer showed up today. He's brought this message to us because He's trying to portray His character to us so that we know who He is. Again, you got to know what's right to understand what's wrong. Can we stand in the house today? Can we stand? In closing, We've got to understand that God loves us. He infinitely loves us. He perfectly loves us. His word and his character tells us that. It demands that from him. But we've got to come his way. He sent his son, and I know that everybody in this house today is saved. I know that you've given your life to the Lord. But there might be one who might be listening by CD today. There might be one who's listening by the internet today. You don't know this. I ask you today to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to ask him for forgiveness, to recognize him as your Savior, to recognize that he died for you and he's coming back again. And right now, if you ask him, he'll come into your life and he'll change your life for good. And you'll get all the benefits of his goodness, his kindness, his loving mercy, and his benevolence. But this morning, as a believer, you know God, you're going to heaven. We've got to understand that God came to earth to understand man. God came to earth to be a perfect man. God came to earth to complete a work that he had to do. We've got to understand today that our faith has got to be solely placed in Jesus Christ. You see, so many times we give our hearts to the Lord and then we think it's done there. Again, there are no graduates to the Word of God. The key is we've got to keep our faith and place our faith and walk in faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you today, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. We thank you for the word that's been given today. We thank you for all the songs that have been sung today unto you, Lord. They couldn't have aligned more perfect, Lord Jesus. We thank you for family and for friends, Lord, that we can dedicate Ivy Maid unto you today, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you let us know that you're perfect, Lord Jesus, that one of your characteristics is infinitude, Lord, that you perfectly love us, Lord God. Lord, remind us today, Lord Jesus, that we cannot place you on a shelf. We cannot drive through the drive-through of heaven and try to get what we need from you, that we need to walk with you. We need to understand who you are daily. We need to seek you constantly, Lord God, for who you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, my prayer today over this church body, Lord, over our visitors today, Lord, is that we would continue to seek you for who you are, Lord God, that you would continue to show yourself to us in a way that you've never done before, that you would continue to open and unlock your word to us and unlock yourself in us, Lord Jesus, because, Lord, we are in you because we placed our faith in the proper means, and that's Jesus Christ and what he's done for us at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We love you. I thank you for being here today. Pastor Brian and Jamie, I thank you for ministering to us today. Jennifer and BG, I just thank you for that special time and for being able to do that. Go and have a great Memorial Day. If you've got plans, I pray that you be safe out there. There's crazy drivers. Don't get any road rage. There's crazy drivers out there. Be safe and just have a good holiday weekend. Amen? Amen. Have a good rest of the day.